From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment, such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo deploys TNI police to enforce new normal. Japanese Prime Minister, European Union leaders reaffirm commitment to partnership COVID-19 response. Now the news in detail. Tokyo and Brussels have agreed to strengthen the Japan-European Union strategic partnership and enhance cooperation to combat the ongoing COVID-19 outbreak, according to a statement released by the European Council on Tuesday. Earlier in the day, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, and European Council President Charles Michel held a video conference and agreed that the strategic partnership between both parties will be vital to aiding the epidemiological and economic recovery from the COVID-19 outbreak. According to the European Council statement, the leaders reaffirmed their commitment to the Japan-European Union strategic partnership. It will play an important role in recovering from the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic and in tackling other common challenges that have not diminished. Encouraged by the initial positive results, the leaders expressed their determination to continue implementing the Japan-EU Strategic Partnership Agreement and Economic Partnership Agreement. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte said he will not allow students to go back to school until a coronavirus vaccine is available, even as some countries resume in-person classes. Children were due to return to school to the end of August, after classes for more than 25 million primary and secondary students were shut down in March as the contagion took off in the Philippines. But in a speech aired late Monday, President Duterte said the risk was too great, even if it held students back academically. Though researchers have launched an unprecedented global effort to quickly develop a vaccine, it is not clear when a viable candidate will be proven and distributed on a large scale. Public school normally runs from June to April in the Philippines, but authorities pushed back the start as cases rose and a strict lockdown brought most of the nation to a halt. In order to ease classroom crowding, the Education Ministry had already announced a mix of distance learning measures, including online classes, would be used for the coming school year. Luxembourg will ease its coronavirus restrictions on Wednesday, May 27, reopening cafes and restaurants and allowing civil and religious ceremonies under strict conditions, the government announced. Prime Minister Xavier Bettel told a news conference recently that eateries could reopen terraces with a maximum of 4 people at a single table. Indoor dining in cafes and restaurants will resume on Friday, Prime Minister Xavier Bettel said, with social distancing of 1.5 meters between groups. Marriages and funerals will also be allowed if the attendees wore face masks and kept 2 meters distance from each other. François Kopp, the general secretary of the HoReCa Federation grouping hotels, restaurants, and cafes, welcomed the announcement, saying the sector had greatly suffered from the confinement. The Malaysian Health Ministry has confirmed that 38 Indonesian undocumented migrants detained at 3 Malaysian immigration custody depots have tested positive for COVID-19. Earlier this month, Malaysian authorities arrested more than 1,300 undocumented migrants, including 421 Indonesian citizens. Authorities claim the crackdown was a precautionary measure to contain the spread of COVID-19. The Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur's head of social and cultural information Agung Chaya Sumirat said the embassy was monitoring developments closely, including the well-being of the infected Indonesian citizens in custody. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian President Joko Widodo announced on Tuesday, May 26, that the Indonesian military TNI and national police could be deployed to guard crowded places in preparation for the so-called new normal. During a visit to the Hotel Indonesia Traffic Circle MRT station with TNI Commander Air Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, National Police Chief General Idham Aziz, and Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo said security forces would help to ensure that residents abided by physical distancing rules. The president said at a press conference after the visit that the personnel would be deployed in 4 provinces and 25 regions and cities. TNI Commander Air Marshal Hadi Cahyanto said there were approximately 1,800 places that would be guarded by TNI and police personnel, including shopping malls, traditional markets, tourism spots, and other places with high traffic. The Ministry of Youth and Sport Affairs has begun preparing protocols for national sport activities as the country braces for a new normal in view of the continuing pandemic. Based on preliminary government studies on the implementation of a new normal, outdoor sport activities have been listed in Phase 3, which will begin on June 15, 2020. However, the minister is still waiting for permission for the Task Force for the Acceleration of COVID-19 Handling to determine when competitions can be restarted. Minister of Youth and Sport Affairs Zainuddin Amali said on Tuesday, during a press teleconference in Jakarta, once a permit is issued, the ministry will prepare more specific and strict protocols related to technical implementation, such as rules that bar spectators and set restrictions on the number of participants. The guide is aimed at restarting sport activities that had previously been stopped with adjustments to the new normal. The protocol would also include the preparation of national training for each sport branch ahead of the PEC championship agendas lined up for next year. The last item. Volunteers from United Indonesia Against COVID-19 carried out free mass rapid tests in the Bundaran HI or HI roundabout area in Central Jakarta as part of effort to stem coronavirus spread in the capital on Tuesday. The volunteer group initiated by Sandiaga Uno provided 500 rapid test kits and mobile swab tests for 3 infections in the heart of the capital city. According to Angeline, the doctor in charge for the event in Jakarta, the volunteer group has not set a time limit. The volunteer group will continue the test until the volunteer group runs out of the rapid test kits that the volunteer group has prepared. The public, cleaning service workers, even military and police personnel can participate by bringing their identification cards. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
What's up, Indonesia? In Jakarta with commentary for today entitling A Ray of Hope for Peace in Afghanistan. Eid Day celebration has given a special blessing for the people of Afghanistan. A glimmer of hope for peace arises in a country that continues to be engulfed in armed conflict. Since Sunday, when Muslims around the world celebrated Eid, the Afghan government and the Taliban have carried out a planned ceasefire for 3 days. This meant stopping, though temporarily, a civil war that has lasted for 19 years. With this, the Afghan people can enjoy a happy atmosphere of the festive Eid Day. Marking the truce, the Afghan government releases 100 Taliban prisoners. The policy was in response to the implementation of a ceasefire on the second day of Eid. Afghan National Security Council spokesman Javad Faisal even said, there was a possibility of the release of up to 2,000 Afghan prisoners. The government also stated, as a form of a ceasefire, there will be 100 prisoners released every day. That seems to be a signal for the initiative to negotiate. A ceasefire that holds back firefighting and bombing certainly makes the people of the country happy because they can celebrate Eid peacefully and happily, just like other Muslims in country that are not hit by civil war or armed conflict. Before the ceasefire, as a sign of goodwill, the government released at least 1,000 prisoners, while the Taliban released 300 detained government troops. In a joint statement, the ceasefire in Afghanistan was immediately welcomed by at least 5 countries, including Indonesia. The other 4 are Germany, Norway, Qatar, and Uzbekistan. The truce in Afghanistan has caused joy among people in Afghanistan. After years of living in conflict, they really long for peace. Moreover, this seems to provide new hope for the people of Afghanistan, especially young people, teenagers and children, who during the conflict seem to have no future. The question is then, to what extent are the leaders, both within the government and the Taliban, able to control hostility? The fact that a ceasefire was previously carried out and did not end in peace could have been repeated after it. That was commentary. I'm Nico Kusumawati.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start with a history on May 27, 1937, Golden Gate Bridge was officially opened. The Golden Gate Bridge, the connecting bridge of the city of San Francisco and Cape Marin, is one of the most spectacular infrastructure buildings in the world. This bridge was once the longest bridge in the world. The 2.7 kilometers long bridge, the Golden Gate, stretches majestically connecting San Francisco and the Marin Cape. The orange-colored bridge spanned construction cost of $35 million or 405.4 billion rupiah. Now we turn to another history on May 27, 1964, the death of Jawaharlal Nehru. On May 27, 1964, the founder of modern India and the then Indian Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru passed away. He was one of the influential leaders during the Indian independence movement and the political successor to Mahatma Gandhi. Jawaharlal Nehru became the first Prime Minister after India gained independence on August 15, 1947. He undertook economic and educational reforms that made him respected. Nehru is known as a neutral leader, a in foreign policy. After his death, Nehru's daughter Indira Gandhi and his grandson Rajiv Gandhi then continued his position as Prime Minister of India. With a history on May 27, 2006, earthquake in Yogyakarta. The tectonic earthquake shook the special region of Yogyakarta and Central Java on May 27, 2006 at around 5:55 Indonesia Standard Time for 57 seconds. The earthquake was 5.9 on the Richter scale. Even according to the United States Geological Survey, the earthquake had a magnitude of 6.2 on the Richter scale. The earthquake caused more than 6,000 casualties. Buildings and ancient sites were badly damaged. Various friendly countries also helped with the recovery of this disaster. And that was Today in History.
Memang indah semua, tapi berakhir luka. Kau main hati dengan sadarmu. Kau tinggal aku, benar ku mencintaimu, tapi tak begini. Hianati hati ini, kau curangi aku. Benar ku mencintaimu, tapi tak begini. Kau hianati hati ini, kau curangi aku.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Indonesian Industry Minister and Business People Agreed to Boost Manufacturing. Industry Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita held a virtual gathering during Idul Fitri with Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadin, Industry Association, Industry Business People, as well as first and second echelons of Industry Ministry. This gathering was titled Virtual Open House with Industry Ministry. At that time, the minister invited officials of industry ministry and stakeholders to use the day of victory to support, strengthen, and fulfill each other in facing the COVID-19. That was the written statement of industry ministry released in Jakarta on Monday. Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita said, through various policies and regulations, industry ministry kept encouraging manufacturing industry to bring positive contribution for the economy amid COVID-19 pandemic. Industry business people appreciated the ministry's effort in supporting them to survive in the pandemic. One of them was industrial operational and mobility permit. Indonesian Food and Beverages Producers Association GAPMI chairperson Adi S. Lukman appreciated the effort of industry ministry in issuing the permit so that industries that produce primary needs, such as food and beverage sector, can still operate and contribute to economy during the large-scale social distancing. Similarly, Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry chairperson Rosan Perkasa Ruslani said that the industry ministry as industry leader is always supportive, communicative, and helpful for industry business people during COVID-19. Meanwhile, Chairperson of Industrial Area Association Sani Iskandar said, their organization will always oversee the effort of industry ministry so that industries stay productive as long as the COVID-19 still exists. The effort was mainly through industrial operational and mobility permit monitoring by Industrial Area Association monitoring team during large-scale social distancing. Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita added, the brief meeting between industry ministry and industry players was quite constructive. He invited all to prove that industry ministry have great resilience. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Untuk yakinkan ku sanggup tanpamu, kan ku terima kenyataannya agar kau dapat menggapai kebahagiaanmu. Aku tak melupakanmu, hanya ingin melangkah maju tanpa mengingat dirimu. Aku tak melupakanmu, aku hanya berpura-pura melupakan
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about a tourism city, namely Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta is the capital city of special region of Yogyakarta in Indonesia. Yogyakarta city where Sultan Hamengkubuwono and Grand Duke Paku Alam live is one of the biggest cities in Indonesia. The city used to be the capital city of Indonesia in 1946. The name of Yogyakarta was taken from two words, namely Ayogya or Ayodhya, which means peacefulness. The city is also known as a student city because 20% of its population is students and there are 137 colleges. location of Yogyakarta City is very strategic because it is located at the main ways, namely Southern Cross Road, which connects Yogyakarta, Bandung, Surakarta, Surabaya, and other cities in the south of Java, and also Yogyakarta-Semarang Road, which connects Yogyakarta, Magelang, Semarang, and other cities in Middle Cross Road of Java Island. Thereby, the transportation in Yogyakarta is quite adequate to make mobility among the cities easier. Yogyakarta City is located at the valley of three rivers, namely Winongo River, Chode River, which splits the city to be two parts, and also Gajah Wong River. The city is rarely hit with huge floods because it has good drainage, which was built by the Dutch colonial government, and also the addition of drainage which was provided by the provincial government of Yogyakarta. One of the districts in Yogyakarta, namely Kota Gede, was once the center of the Sultanate of Mataram from 1575 until 1640. The palaces that still function well are Ngayogyakarta Palace and Puro Paku Alaman as part of Mataram Sultanate. Yogyakarta also became place of the establishment of the biggest Islamic organization, Muhammadiyah, which was established by Kiai Haji Ahmad Dahlan at Kauman, Ngupasan, Gondomanan, Yogyakarta in 1912. Until now, central board of Muhammadiyah is still in Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta is a city with full of history, which is still managed well. The city is still rich with Javanese culture and tradition. Therefore, many domestic and foreign tourists are interested to visit this city. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Di saat hati ini tak terlalu
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is membuat janji or making appointment. Listen to this conversation about membuat janji or making appointment. Kevin looks for homestay with Pak Imran. They promise to meet after the lunch by phone.
Halo Pak.
Ya, halo.
Gini Pak, saya mau mencari tempat kos hari ini. Apakah Bapak bisa menemani saya?
Bisa. Pukul berapa ya?
Bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang?
Oke, kita bertemu di lobi hotel ya.
Now I'm going to introduce the vocabularies and expressions related to that topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Halo, which means hello. Tempat kos, which means homestay. Bertemu, which means to meet. Saya mau mencari tempat kos hari ini. Saya mau mencari tempat kos hari ini, which means I want to look for a homestay today. Apakah Bapak bisa menemani saya? Apakah Bapak bisa menemani saya? Which means can you accompany me? Pukul berapa? pukul berapa? Which means, at what time? Bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang? Bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang? Which means, why don't we go after the lunch? Kita bertemu di lobby hotel. Kita bertemu di lobby hotel. Which means, we'll meet at hotel lobby, okay? In the conversation, Kevin says, bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang? When making appointment, people usually discuss about time and place to meet. To ask the opinion of someone who will meet with you about time and place, you can use expression bagaimana kalau, which means how about. For example, bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang, which means how about after lunch. Bagaimana kalau bertemu di lobby hotel? Bagaimana kalau bertemu di lobby hotel? Which means, how about at hotel lobby? To respond to the question, you can say, okay, baiklah, or alright, saya setuju, or I agree, or ide bagus, which means it's a good idea, if you agree. But if you do not agree, you can say, maaf, saya tidak bisa, which means, sorry, I can't. Let's listen to other examples. Bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang? In English, how about after lunch? Maaf, saya tidak bisa. Saya ada janji. In English, sorry, I can't. I have another appointment. Bagaimana kalau kita pergi ke puncak? In English, why don't we go to puncak? Ide bagus. In English, it's a good idea. If you do not agree, you can say, maaf, saya tidak setuju. Tempatnya terlalu jauh. Maaf, saya tidak setuju. Tempatnya terlalu jauh. In English, sorry, I do not agree. It's too far. For additional information, besides for asking opinion, the word bagaimana or how is also used to ask about way. For examples, bagaimana cara pergi ke sana? In English, how do we go there? Or how to go there? Bisa naik motor atau bus? Bisa naik motor atau bus? In English, we can go there by motorcycle or by bus. Bagaimana cara mendaftar? Bagaimana cara mendaftar? In English, how do we register? Isi formulir ini dahulu. Isi formulir ini dahulu. In English, fill out the form first. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Halo, Pak.
Ya, halo.
Gini, Pak. Saya mau mencari tempat kos hari ini. Apakah Bapak bisa menemani saya?
Bisa, bisa. Pukul berapa ya?
Bagaimana kalau setelah makan siang?
Oke. Kita bertemu di lobby hotel ya.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia, or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Pernah pantas untuk bahagia. untukku. Jangan lagi kau pergi dari hidupku. Takkan mudah untukku bila sendiri. Biar kita miliki rasa bahagia, ingin selalu bersama.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, I present a song from West Kalimantan titled Masjid Jami. The song Masjid Jami tells about a Pontianak Grand Mosque, an oldest and biggest mosque in Pontianak, West Kalimantan. In this song, the mosque called Masjid Sultan Syarif Abdurrahman is depicted as a pioneer of development in Pontianak City. The song Masjid Jami also invites people and visitors to come and visit the Royal Palace of Pontianak, which is open to the public up to this time. At the end of the lyrics, the song Masjid Jami also invites the local community in Pontianak to love and develop their city. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Masjid Jami by Dedi Haryadi Giska. Enjoy the song.
Thank you. Sultan Abdurrahman pendirinya di zaman penjajahan Belanda. Itu bukti secara nyata, boleh bangga kita semua. Abdurrahman pendirinya di bicara nyata, boleh bangga kita semua. Itu bukti secara nyata, boleh bangga kita.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.